Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Ford Tough Studio, Tuesday, August 16th. What is up? It's the Boomer and Geo program without either of those two as they enjoy the time off. Boomer back on Monday, G back on Thursday. So myself and Sal Licata till 10 o'clock. We've got Al, we've got Eddie, we've got CeeLo. That's pretty much it. The newsroom is kind of empty other than that. And we've also got a crappy baseball team, which I'm still trying to figure out how in the hell this has happened. The Mets lose the game, whatever. They'll play again tonight. But Mr. Sal Licata, first, good morning. And number two, I think we start with the New York Yankees and the mess that all of a sudden they've become.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. I mean, we talked about it going into this series, with the importance of the Yanks just getting back to winning ways. I know you look at the division and say, well, okay, no big deal. They're going to win the division. I think that's been the sentiment from everybody. Oh, the division's over, so it doesn't matter. Get healthy, get right, come playoff time. But this is a bigger deal to me. And if they're not careful here, you know, they lose these next two games for the Rays, which is very possible. I don't know. If you've been paying attention watching this Yankees team, they could lose.
They can't score.
Well, right. And if they lose these games, all of a sudden that lead goes down to single digits. Then you start thinking, okay, well, wait, 8 games is maybe not as comfortable as 11 games. Now maybe they could be in trouble here. I'm not saying that the world is caving in on the Yankees. However, Jer, it's been a problem because it's not a rough stretch for 2 weeks. There are deep issues that we've seen exposed here for the better part of a month and a half now with this Yankee team, and it continues. To your point, they can't score.
Even last night, I mean, I know Yarbrough came in whatever inning it was, he didn't start the game, but, I mean, I'm watching this game, and, you know, once Cole goes out in the sixth, you're thinking, all right, can they push a run across to at least get him off the hook? And anemic. I think the sixth inning, 1-2-3. I think the seventh inning was 1-2-3. They had the one shot in the fourth inning. Oh, my God. I mean, if that's not a microcosm of where they're at right now, not for the whole season, but where they're at right now, where you've got Hicks misplay. I don't know what the hell has happened to Aaron Hicks. Right. I mean, the one thing you always do is a really good outfielder, and I know he's coming back from injury, but it seemed like he had righted the ship, and all of a sudden, I mean, that play last night was comical. He plays a fly ball. I think O'Neill says, he goes, that's kind of routine as long as you play it the right way, and he said it, you know, kind of tentatively like that, right. And then he misplays it. It turns into a triple, runs, scores. There's your one run. And then in the bottom half, he's got a chance to make amends.
Ooh.
And he gets booed, and they got booed as loud as I have heard that stadium, at least through, you know, through the TV, that I think I've heard in a long time.
Ooh, with a 1-2-3 double play.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Ooh. Brutal. I almost felt bad for Aaron.
I know.
You could see he wanted to slam his helmet down in frustration, and he's embarrassed, clearly. It's not like the guy doesn't want to do well. However, it's been a rough go. He's been a whipping boy along with Joey Gallo, and rightfully so. I get it. I mean, I'd be booing him, too, if I were there. It's unacceptable performance from Hicks. In particular, look, you're going to ground out with the bases loaded, fine, but in particular, after the lousy play in center field, and then on top of it, the double play, it just can't happen.
Like, the only thing you couldn't do there was to bounce into a double play. You strike out, not great, but at least the inning's still alive. You want to hit a fly ball, get the run, and anything but the double play to end the inning after what you just did, right? Because that was the top of the fourth where they scored the run.
He is not solely to blame here, obviously, for the Yankee issues, but he's going to be, you know, the focal point after a performance like that. You can see, look, watching CBS Sports here, he's about to slam his helmet down in frustration, but just a defeated Aaron Hicks after the misplay in center and then again the double play in a big spot. Hey, bottom line is the Yankees aren't good enough right now, and they're trying different things. You get Gleyber Torres batting leadoff last night. Actually worked for him to get a couple hits. Josh Donaldson has been terrible. Rizzo, the frustration, getting hit by the pitch, and I don't know what the hell that
was. It's funny because you saw that with the Mets and Philly. Was it the Phillies? It was with the Mets the other day where someone leaned into them. I'm blanking out on who it was. Someone leaned into the pitch at Citi Field, and they didn't call it, and Buck came out because it was Taiwan Walker was pitching.
Okay.
I don't remember who. I think it was the Phillies. Whatever. And he goes to first base. Here, the umpire immediately says, get back here. That's not
Joey Votto.
Is that who it was?
With the Reds.
Okay, yeah, it was the Reds then. It wasn't the Phillies. Right. Okay, it was the Reds. So you don't see that called very often. They called it last night. Now, that was the third inning last night. That was just another sign of how things have really turned. And this is what I can't for the life of me understand. I get it. A couple of guys are hurt. I totally understand. This right now, in this moment, these last 10 days where they've dropped, well, I guess it's 10 of 12, so it's longer than that. But if you look at their last six games, they have scored 3 runs or less in all of them. And they've now been shut out in back-to-back games
right.
3 times in those six. And they look like the worst offense that baseball has right now.
Well, and look at the lineup, though, too. It does hurt not having LeMahieu, not having Stan in there. But there's no
excuses. LeMahieu was there until he got hurt.
I get it. And look, I think it is now. It was 9 of 11 before last night, so I'm pretty sure
10 of 12.
Yeah, right. So it's been bad for this Yankee team. Look at it since the All-Star break, 8 and 16. I mean, they're not doing anything. Gerrit Cole had another good outing, back-to-back starts for him that have been more than serviceable. But the offense, Jer, look at the lineup. It's just not the same. I mean, look at the names of Benetton. Tendy stinks. He's been terrible.
Fine. If you told me they were only scoring a couple of runs a game, I would tell you this offense stinks.
But getting shut
They're
out.
Getting shut out routinely. I think it's 4-8 games, 4-9 games. I mean, you still have Aaron Judge in the middle of that lineup. You know, there's no protection. I mean,
right. You
still have Andrew Benintendi is still a player as bad as he's been since he's been here. He still was hitting +300 with the Royals. You know, Anthony Rizzo may not be hitting for average, but he comes up with a key hit once in a while.
Right.
They have done nothing.
But think about the three guys, and I know this is a larger sample size, and look, I don't think Matt Carpenter is particularly good anyway, but he was carrying the load for what wasn't really a cohesive offensive team. It was Aaron Judge mashing home runs left and right, and Carpenter was a big part of making up for, okay, well, how come you could overcome Donaldson stinking, or how come you could overcome Stanton being out for a little while? Well, Matt Carpenter was doing that. Now, you look at their lineup, no LeMahieu, no Carpenter, no Stanton. That is three of their better hitters this year.
Listen, Matt Carpenter was great when he's here. I am not going to deny that at all.
I don't think he's 100%. A big deal anyway. But
if this team's going to fall apart because Matt Carpenter got hurt,
right.
Then what does that say about what we thought they were anyway?
And he was there for, you know, since July. I mean, their struggles have been going on since we documented yesterday. Since the beginning of July, this has been an issue for the Yankees.
Again, if they were scoring a couple of runs a game, all right, you know what? They're going through a rough patch. They can't. They don't even put together a threat.
All right, so let me ask you. Are they just not as good as we thought
they
were?
I don't know, because it's one thing to say that you are, again, I'll use the Met example from last year. It's one thing to say that, yeah, you're in first place, you're doing well, but yeah, it doesn't really look that way. This team was 40 games above 500,
right, they were
Sal.
A juggernaut. They weren't losing, period.
Right, they weren't good. They were one of the best. For 3 months, it was one of the best teams I'd ever seen. I don't know. How can you argue
record-wise,
it?
Record-wise, at the very least. I mean,
and then we would say, well, let's see when they start playing better teams. Well, they played better teams. Aside from the Astros, they were playing good baseball against everybody.
In any situation, they came back. They closed things out. But that's what I mean. It's also not just the offense. That's going to be the focal point now because they got shut out in back-to-back games because they're not hitting clearly consistently. The bullpen has been an issue. The starters have been an issue. There's been a drop-off in
every
single area.
Everywhere.
So, as I said last week, what the hell are these Yankees? Like, you could tell me right now the Yankees are going to win the World Series. I'm like, okay. I mean, I could buy it based on what I saw earlier in the year. You could tell me right now Yankees are going to be out in the first round. I'm like, okay, I could buy it because right now they can't get out of their own way. I mean, they need to win these games. I've seen good Yankee teams go through a rough patch before. I don't know if I've seen it to this extent where we saw this team dominate Major League Baseball for an extended period. And now for the last month and a half, they've been below average. We're not talking about a team that's come back to earth playing 500. We're talking about they've been bad.
Yes.
A bad baseball team. Something is wrong there, and it's not just they've dealt without Stanton. They've been without Judge for years. I'm going back, you know, the years where they've won. You know, they win 100 games, so they lost everybody in their lineup. Aaron Boone's first year, whatever it was. So it's not just that, oh, well, Stanton's out. When he comes back, everything's going to be fine. It's not just that. There's something off with this team. I don't get how you could go from being that good to now this bad.
Yeah, it's been one of the more extreme changes in season that I've seen in a long time. And I don't know when it gets better, because we talked about the stretch they're in right now. This might get worse before it gets better, actually. And then all of a sudden, you know, to your point, what are they? And I don't know what the expectations are any longer. I think it was 6 weeks ago, it was World Series or bust, and right. It felt like it was a clear path to the ALCS collision course Astros. No one's getting in their way. Now, I'm not so sure. I'll tell you this. I look at Cleveland right now. Cleveland's playing a much better brand of baseball than the Yankees are. And the Indians are not the
Guardians.
The Guardians are not the Twins. You know, they've had success against the Yankees in the past, whereas the Twins are just, I mean, a rollover. And they're now controlling that division. I mean, I don't know who the Yankees are going to end up playing in the playoffs, but I do know this. If this is what they are, then it is going to be, forget Houston, it is going to be a quick in and out again.
Well, because, I mean, the Mariners have beat the Yankees in two series. The Rays and Jays can be dangerous, as we've seen. And I know the Yankees have handled them for the most part this year, but if the Yankees are going to play like this, those two teams can be dangerous as well. All of a sudden, it's not just, oh, well, the Yankees are that much better. They were that much better. I don't think right now you could definitively say that. And the way that I've been saying, oh, it's only the Yankees and the Astros. God, this has been going on too long here with this team. They got to win. I thought they'd beat the Red Sox in a series. That they didn't do that. And right. Now again, they'll bounce back at home. And no, they get shut out again at home. Why would I think that this is not going to continue? And they had their, you know, with one of their best pitchers, with Cole, on the mound last night, still can't get the job done.
Well, that's the thing that's concerning, too. So if I tell you that you've got Cole and Cortez back-to-back, you feel pretty good about winning a couple of those games, you know, winning those two games. And here they go out and lose and don't score for Cole, who got DeGrom last night. And now you got Cortez, whose last time out goes into the sixth inning with a perfect game in Seattle. They don't win that game either.
Right.
So just because you've got your two aces on the mound doesn't mean a damn thing. And the same could have been said for the Mets in years past, too, with DeGrom starting, and they don't score for him. So used to it. But I don't know, man. You don't win tonight. And what is the conversation tomorrow? More of the same.
Oh, no, but the panic is really going to start to set in now. I think last week it was, hey, there may be a problem here. You know, what is this Yankee team? Then after the weekend, and now after last night, if this continues again tonight, it's going to be, what the hell is going on here? This is now it's a real problem. And especially when you start to see that lead get cut into in the AL East.
Yeah, which now is 10, and it's not Toronto anymore. It's Tampa. That
well,
is 10 games out. Right, but I'm saying Tampa has now joined the fray because Toronto has made no move or push to get into.
I mean, if Toronto did anything over the last week and a half, they'd be right there. But let's just say, Jared,
they could be 6 or 7 out right now.
Oh, my God, right. Yes. And that's doable. It's still, you know, mid-August here. By the way, by the end of the week, we might be talking about that. I'm not saying the Yankees are going to lose 6, 7 in a row here, but they've been on such a bad stretch. I mean, they could lose 2 of 3 easily to the Rays. They got 4 games of the Blue Jays coming up. By the end of the weekend,
It could be a 5 or 6 game lead.
Well, I mean, even if it's 7 or 8, that's like, whoa, it went from 10 or 13 to now all of a sudden 7, where when it's double digits, it feels impossible. When it's 7 or 8, it feels like, you know what, that might be doable all of a sudden.
And you know, it's a little different than, because I would think that immediately someone could say, well, you know, the Mets had a 10 game lead down to a half game. Here's why it's different. The Mets didn't collapse. Atlanta just played out of their minds and got that lead and deficit to where it was. The Mets, they played 500 ball, a little bit better than 500, but they didn't collapse.
The Yanks are going backwards.
The Yankees are 2-10 in their last 12 games. And if this continues, it will be a collapse. And so that's why it would feel a bit different if Toronto got it to 4 or 5 going into September, say.
I think it's an excellent point. With the Braves coming on like that, it was the Braves playing well, the Mets, and that's why people, I know they still don't want to believe in the Mets, but it wasn't the Mets doing anything wrong, which is why I always stayed confident believing in that team, because they've been consistent. With the Yankees, that is not the case here. They have not been consistent. That's the problem. The other teams, the Rays and the Blue Jays, basically have done the same thing. It's the Yankees. As a matter of fact, the Blue Jays have been probably worse.
Maybe.
Because if they were any better, if they got hot, they would be closer, closer to the Yankees. It's the Yankees coming back to the pack a little bit. Now, again, this is extreme panic at this particular point. As we sit here today, it is still a 10-game lead over both those teams.
It's so weird, though. It doesn't feel like
it. But we're watching them play. They look like crap for 6, 7 weeks
now. They look listless. And I know it's easy to say that when, like, when you're not getting hits, you're not moving runners along, it looks like that as opposed to what it actually is. But I can tell you, just putting the game on, there's no feel to it
right
at all. The feel or the boos, and it's almost as if like Cole goes out there and you expect him to go 1-2-3 like he did last night a couple of times. And he pitched well last night, 6 innings. I thought he was going to go out for the 7th. I know where his pitch count was, but I actually thought he was going to go out for the 7th. But it's almost as if the only energy in the building is when they're defending and when the crowd's booing. Because they can't score.
And last night was a night. Now, look, it is impossible to pick on Aaron Judge other than his comments yesterday after the game, which I did get on him for. But you're watching him perform at a ridiculous level. However, there's a spot in the game last night where they desperately needed him. And the 8th inning, Judge comes up with a guy on. They're down a run. Mm-hmm. I'm watching that game thinking, okay, this is where the big boys got to do damage here. And he didn't. And again, it grounds out. I mean, that grounds into a double play. And look, it happens.
Of course.
He's not perfect. I know that he has had a ridiculous season. But they're in a spot right now where they need him. They needed him in that moment to provide a big hit. And he didn't get it done. And that's happened here over the stretch of the last few games where Judge has not come through in a big spot.
It goes to show like how hard what he does is. Meaning guys hitting 40, 50, 60 home runs. So if you got 600 at-bats in a season, and you hit 60 home runs, you are going to go down in right. the history of the game as one of the best power hitters ever. At the same time, the amount of failure. I saw, like, even in Boston Sunday night, he's 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts
right.
in a winnable game.
Right.
Last night, he's got a spot, comes up empty. Yet, he's having this monster season, but go show it's hard. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, right. You're going to fail the majority of the time, even in a great season. The guy's hitting 300. He's got 46 homers. I mean, you can't pick him apart. However, 8th inning last night, leadoff guy gets on with Gleyber Torres, base hit. You're all right, here we go. This is where we're finally going to score some runs, especially at home. I mean, the Yankees, that's what they do. Even if they're down, they come back. They've been doing that all year long at home and then stealing these wins somehow, but not as of late.
I really thought with what Kiner Falefa did on Saturday, I kind of thought that might spark them a little right. bit, but
did you think they were going to lose 2 out of 3 to the lowly Reds?
No, I thought they'd come back and win Sunday night.
Or even against Seattle last week, I'm like, all right, you know, the rubber game here. They see the Yankees go out there, win this series, kind of get right, get the off day, go into Boston, take 2 or 3 there. No, they lose that rubber game. Then they go into Boston, they don't get right. They lose 2 out of 3 there. They come back home, they lose the first one here, and they don't score any runs in the process. It's not good right now. And I think the bigger concern is not, okay, well, this is a great team that is going through a rough stretch. I legitimately have no idea what this friggin' team is. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're great. I don't know if they're bad. They've been everything of the sort over the course of the season so far. I have no idea what to make of this Yankee team. And I think that that's a problem.
And I also think they don't know what to make of it, too, which is also a problem. All right, 6:16, soon to be 6:17. We'll take a break. We'll get CeeLo in here. Just getting started. It is Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We will do the Mets. We'll get to them in a little while as well. Jets, Giants, also in a very odd basketball story off the court.
Another one?
Yes.
Oh.
Which I'm stunned was not covered in the warm-up show. So we will get to that coming up as well on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
God, beautiful morning, 624. Nice sunny skies in New York City. Coming up also in a little while.
The streets, by the way, Jared, nice and clean in New York City. Are you familiar with that? It's a nice and sunny day. The clean streets in New York City.
I take a walk off a cliff side.
Jared, you got it. You're familiar with the term alternate side parking?
What's incredibly ironic about this?
Nice ticket.
Is yesterday morning, Monday. It was yesterday, right, Al, that we were talking about this? I said to Al,
you're such an instigator.
Parked on the wrong side, which we do a lot because it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm not walking 8 blocks like you guys, whatever.
Eight.
Well, in Eddie's case, 8 miles.
You can double that.
How many times I've asked Jerry, hey, is it good to park here? I know I'm not supposed to.
It's fine.
It's 5:30. Who the hell's going to give you a
4:30? When we came here, 12?
2009.
No, 9.
9? Yeah, man.
Damn.
Right in the middle of the Yankees World Series run. Or ALCS against the Angels.
Wow. In 13 years, I don't think I've ever gotten an alternate side ticket between 4 and 6 a.m. ever. Yesterday, I said to Al, seems odd that there was not one car parked on the wrong side at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, but I've never once gotten a ticket, ever. And he goes, yeah, I parked right in front of you. You know, we'll see what happens. Nothing happened. Today, same thing, ticket.
What would Boomer say?
Who cares?
You touched the money.
No,
that's what he'd say.
That's nonsense.
The old jinx.
That's what he'd say.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting there, and I was going to park in that same spot in front of
you. And I would have told you, you're good.
And I get a call. Exactly. So I get a call from Jerry. He's like, you here yet? I'm like, yeah, I'm just sitting outside. I was waiting. I got there at 5:30. I figured I'd wait another 10 minutes because then the window closes. Yeah, it's legal at 6.
Bleed the clock.
Yeah, 5:45 or whatever. I'll go in. He calls. He's telling me, oh, you got to get the ticket off my car. I'm like, what do you mean ticket? And then I hear the street sweeper coming. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. I don't want to get a ticket. So I parked legally, Jer.
Good for you.
No ticket for me.
Very happy for you. I would park legally, too, if the damn U.S. Postal Service wouldn't take up every, you know, available parking spot. It's whatever. Anyhow.
You who, you know, talks about health and exercise, I mean, you can't walk 8 blocks?
No, I'd like to stay alive and not get mugged, actually.
Hey, you've been doing this how long?
Yeah, okay. He's also been approached by transsexual hookers.
What are they going to do to him?
Have you seen or read
like
a newspaper?
Topic. You
know. Yes, I do.
What
yes.
would
keep
you
walking.
Do if you got approached by a transsexual hooker?
I've
you do it. I'm not
Monday through Friday like
I'm
you
not
guys,
doing it.
But I've walked enough at that hour
interested.
Down here. It's not that
good
bad.
For you. That's
all
awesome.
It takes is one time where you get mugged.
I am not interested.
All right,
this is great.
But you can see your aggravation this morning now because you ended up with the ticket.
$65
No, I just find it ironic. It is what it is. I parked it. It'd be the 9,000 ticket I pay.
The hooker, not afraid at all. He was asking if I wanted to do business. I told him I did not.
Yeah.
He said he wasn't usually doesn't work this area. Where's the spot? I told him where the spot was. All good.
How do you know where the spot is?
Assisting the hookers in the middle of the night.
Wait, he's worked here 13 years. Oh, yeah, it's to make a down the corner.
He does the whole grid down here where you want to go to.
He has certainly seen enough of the roads down here. That is very true.
All right.
So that said, there's also something that I will get to that might have Al queasy at some point. I'll just say I almost lost a part of my body yesterday.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a tease.
We'll get you whole. No, you can multiply that by about 10, Eddie.
Jeez,
that's how close
it
came.
You've had an interesting 20 hours or so since you left here yesterday.
Yeah. Not great. Chris, take it away.
We sensed that right away this morning. All right, powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. So, yeah, the Yankees are in a bad way right now. How about one run across their last 22 innings?
And the 1-1 is routed weakly to the mound. Cohom, there's one on the first double play. 1-2-3 double play. It's exactly what Tampa wanted. and it's exactly what they got.
But when there's deceit.
Well, as you well know, and you've heard this cliche all your life, the truth hurts.
That's right. Truth is, the Yankee offense stinks right now. Yep. That was John Sterling in the fourth inning here on The Fan. Part of a brutal night for Aaron Hicks, who struck out with a couple of runners aboard in his first at bat, misplayed a fly ball to the warning track in the top of the fourth, and then hits into the 1-2-3 DP there with the bases loaded. Probably the best threat of the night for the Yanks, who got shut out for the fourth time in 9 games. Rays 4 and the Yanks nothing. It's the first time they've been shut out in consecutive games since 2016, and their 8 runs over the last 6 is the fewest in a 6-game span for the Yankees since 2015. They've lost 10 out of 12. They're 8-16 since the All-Star break, 11-21 since July 9th. What the heck is going on, Aaron Boone?
Aaron, what do you feel like needs to change to rediscover that spark that you guys had in the first half of the season?
We just got to play better.
There you go. Simple as that.
Well, I mean, he's right.
Okay. Yes.
But
he's accurate.
How are they going to start playing better? Yes. Because right now it's not happening. They've got to be, I don't know what these other teams have done, but they've got to be one of the worst teams in the last 25 games, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are some of these other teams that you wouldn't think based on record and roster.
The A's stink, and there are some bad teams.
Yes.
But
even a team like the Reds, you know, has probably played better than the Yankees in the last couple of weeks.
I know with the new Yankees, this would never happen. And I don't even want to bring it up because I hate going down that road again. We did it all last year. Teams that play like this after being great to start the season, that's what gets managers canned. I mean, you can't, if this goes on longer, we'd be, and I know some fans are already saying it, they were saying it last year, and I like Aaron Boone. However, this is unacceptable. You cannot have that type of fall off. And if you can't, you know the old saying, you can't fire the players, and there's not one specific reason. It is everything that's crumbled down, and then he's saying that, well, we got to play better. That's, I mean,
not to mention.
I did cut that. There's more to the answer, which we'll get to later.
But still, I'm not saying that's why he should be fired. I'm not even saying he should be fired. I'm saying this type of performance for a team of that caliber that performed to the high level that they did, that's what gets managers fired. I mean, they can't do this. At some point, something's got to give you. They got to get it turned around soon, within the next couple of weeks. Can't go into September like this.
What did you guys feel for them before the season, though? Because I feel like if I go back to the offseason, coming out of the lockout, I was like not all that thrilled or excited. I was thinking, it's mostly the same team. I don't really think they're going anywhere. And then they get out to this ridiculous start, which a lot of it I feel like was tied to the fact that the starting pitching was just out of this world. They were like first or second in baseball in team ERA.
But they've been extremely bad. I'm with you.
But they have, but it feels like a course correction a little bit.
Correct. The expectation coming in was nowhere near what it was the way that they played. However, this has been
worse, way below
that. So I think they were probably somewhere in between in my mind, which I'd prefer be consistent.
I thought Toronto was the best team going into the season.
And
I
they've had they their chance be, here. They've done nothing. They're not doing it. Yeah,
that's true.
Which has kind of been the MO for them, really, over the last couple of years. You know, they've got all those boppers in the lineup, but it never really goes anywhere. Now, I will give this to Aaron Hicks. There was no defiance or bristling with the media. He faced them after the game, and he owned it after a rough night.
Just overall, you know, extremely embarrassing, actually. Even if I'm not hitting, I want my defense to be on point. And, I messed up out there as well.
You could just see it in the body language that he's feeling every ounce of it right now, especially Joey Gallo's gone. You know, he was sort of had the ire of the Yankee fan, and now it seems like Aaron Hicks has taken over that title.
You can see it, as I was saying earlier, that he was embarrassed, and to hear him say that, see, that's what I can respect, and I would hope that Yankee fans would feel the same. Look, I get it. You're going to boo the guy. He sucks, and he would admit it, but he basically did. He said, you know what? It's embarrassing, honestly. It's embarrassing.
And he missed the fly ball.
Yeah.
They can't do that. And like you said, hitting's one thing. You can't play defense like that. The defense has fallen off for Hicks, whether it's injuries, age, whatever. But at least I respect him for being accountable after. That is a huge part of it, not running and hiding. Facing the music. Hey, things get tough here in New York. You know what? He's facing the music. I hope Hicks can get it turned around because it has been dreadful for him. Ugh. And that is embarrassing.
Painful to watch. I think they said on the Yes broadcast, StatCast had it at like a 95% catch rate for that ball. I know people don't care. But he clearly misplayed it every which way.
He turned around 3 times.
Yeah. And the booing. tough. I'm sure some of it's for Hicks, but I mean, he had the rough night, but I think it's also the whole frustration for the, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
the
fans know. What's been going on here for a month and a half? What's going on?
No support for Garrett Cole. He's now tossed 13 innings of one run ball across his last two starts, and the Yanks scored a grand total of 0 runs for him.
Yeah, we need a spark. You know, but it just seems to be tough to come by right now.
It sure is. No DJ LeMahieu again. Inflammation in the foot/toe as he got checked out yesterday. So he's getting treatment and using orthotics to try and relieve some of the pressure he's feeling, especially when he swings. So he is day-to-day. Giancarlo Stanton stood in and tracked pitches during a bullpen for Frankie Montas.
This guy's going to get back in line.
Now, he did some defensive work, and he did meet the media during batting practice and said,
"Would he play catch?"
I mean, come on.
I'm sure he did. He said
embarrassing.
He said, listen, I'm going to work out for a couple of days, see how my body responds, and as long as I
feel... Your team needs you, dude! Get out there! You're built like a Greek god, for goodness sake! What is the freaking problem here?
Every year, Achilles problem.
Oh, come on! Suck it up, you're at DH! You don't even have to play! Stand there and swing the bat! Track pitches! Swing the bat! They desperately need offense, and this guy's like, oh, I need 2 or 3 days to get my body, my legs back. What?! What is going on here? Even Boone, I got to feel bad for the guy. He's at what? He's dealing with a what again? We thought he was tired. Calf injury, Achilles. It's always something with this guy. With a body that is chiseled as can be. He is in peak physical condition. He can't stay on the field. Are you injured or are you hurt? I mean, goodness gracious, they're dying for something, Jed. They need him out there. What is it with Stanton? He is, come on.
Same thing every year.
Every year. If he's hurt legitimately, I get it. I think we're beyond that point. Like, he should be coming back here. Even the path back is way longer than we expected.
Yes.
Oh, he should be back this week. Oh, no, now it's going to be another few days. The Yankees are probably like, what the hell is going on here? Will you suck it up and get out there? Please, grab a bat. Go swing for good. I'll meet you in the middle. You don't have to play. You don't have to run. You don't have to catch. You don't have to throw. Swing the bat.
Well, he stood in there against Montas yesterday.
You're right. Tracking pitches.
He grabs a bat and he tracks some pitches in the box.
Jeez, what Giancarlo Stanton. They're dying for him.
So we'll see. Maybe rehab assignment later this week if the body responds okay. He said, I'd rather nip this in the bud now than have it be something that lingers throughout the rest of the season and into the postseason. So two schools of thought on that, I guess. Luis Severino did throw his first bullpen since he went on the IL with the lat strain and said it's the best he's felt all season.
Wow.
Which is not a surprise since he was ticked off that they put him on the 60-day. Right. So even if his arm was hanging off, oh, it's the best I've done. Get me back out there. Let's go. I want to pitch. We'll see you mid-September. Nestor Cortez tonight, opposed by Jeffrey Springs. Pregame on the Fan 6:25. On the TV side, it is a Amazon Prime game tonight.
Oh, so is it really?
Accordingly, yes. And then I think Friday night's game against the Blue Jays, I think, is an Apple.
Of course.
Apple, which is the right. John and Susan bobblehead at the stadium. You'd be trying to get your hands on one of those?
Do we get any of those around here?
We should. I mean, we should put one in here.
I mean, what do I got to pay, $20 for it?
I guarantee you could be able to find one on eBay on Saturday.
Well, that I know, but I'm saying we work here. Do we get one for free?
You gotta put in a request.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure they could take care of that. And then Sunday, I guess, is the Paul O'Neill.
Can I get it signed by John and Susan? So I would like that.
He's not allowed there, right?
He's not going to show up for his own jersey.
I read it. There was an article the other day that said they're trying to figure out how to deal with the awkwardness of him.
I know he hasn't done the broadcast.
Hey, he's got to get in there. Enough's enough. The broadcast suffers because of it. You can't have the delay. It's embarrassing. Like, we've moved on now, and Yes has to make a decision. Either get him in the booth or move on and find somebody else.
Well, that's what I mean. Is it Yes's thing or is it...
From the Yes standpoint,
But I think it's a Yankee Stadium.
Benintendi plays. He's not vaccinated.
Yeah, but player versus...
What they were saying, because I was reading some of these articles, is that they're trying to figure out a way to maybe get Paul O'Neill just right onto the field because he's allowed to be on the field. He's not allowed to be.
This is so stupid.
In the press box, right?
It is unbelievable.
I will tell you when
our fans unvaccinated allowed to be there.
Yes,
okay, yeah,
but it's the in building part.
Yes. I'm just telling you, when I filled in for Sweeney get into the stadium, I had to show my card.
I understand.
And
that
was just
a couple weeks ago.
And mask. All media members have to wear masks.
In the clubhouse, you have to wear a mask.
Not on the field.
No, okay. And not in the press box, in the clubhouse.
Because honestly, I was thinking about getting a credential for Mets Old Timers Day, and then I remembered,
I don't know what City Field might be different. At this point, I think it's up to the, the club or the stadium.
Anyway, he's got to be out there for the day.
If you were vaccinated a year ago, it's probably completely useless at this point anyway. but because you have a card, I mean, it really is stupid.
It sounds like a warm-up show topic. Right? Maybe we can't get into that, Jerry. You can get us all in trouble.
What's that?
No, I can't do the vaccine stuff. I mean,
I don't think we need to
anymore. I wasn't trying to do it. Yeah, that to me is really silly.
It's stupid. It's all stupid. Yeah, I get it.
We'll see how it plays out on the weekend. First, the Yankees got to figure out how to score some runs the next couple of days against the Rays. As for the Mets, they had a lost day and night down in Georgia.
2-2 pitch. Swing on a high fly ball to right. Back goes Marte onto the track in front of the wall. Hits the top of the wall and bounces over the wall for a home run. Back-to-back homers, first by Contreras, now by Eddie Rosario. And the Braves have a 2-0 second inning.
No, he's hurt. Yeah, you know what bothered me about that game? Not even the homers happened. Like, yeah. The Braves are going to hit home runs. The play after that where Canna dropped the fly, he lost the fly ball in the lights or the wind.
He clearly lost the ball.
That crap can't happen. I know it's a mistake, but once
that's
you do
different,
that.
That's different, though, to me than the Hicks one.
That's fair.
I feel like Hicks misplayed the ball. I think Canna didn't see it.
Yeah, he just lost it. All right, but fun. But once that happens, I was like, I'm ready to go to bed. I can't take it. And it's a good thing that I did.
It's the right call.
Yeah, the rain delay and then just getting pounded by Atlanta. Look, you hope to it happens, I guess. You hope to, I mean, come on. Watching that is like, come on, dude.
You're right.
Back-to-back homers. This guy's coming. Oh, where is it? Where is it? Meanwhile, Lindor's the shortstop. He's got a better track on it. Look at Lindor trying to get after that.
Yeah, well,
get
out of the it's way, also out by the warning track.
No, I know.
He is the shortstop, for God's sake.
It happens. I hate that stadium. The Braves, why does that outfield look like it is 50 miles long? How does that work?
It's the camera shot.
I don't understand it. Doesn't it feel like that outfield is enormous out there?
They hit plenty of home runs, so I guess not.
Truist Park, Turner Field, I hate them all.
And yet, where do you want to go?
Yeah, well, I got to go to Atlanta and see the ballpark. I got to check it off the list. I wish I could go to Fulton County Stadium. But
isn't that
one's
gone?
Longer than, yeah,
that's right. The second imploded, time right? That's been referenced in 2 days.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about it.
I have no idea that there are 2 stadiums removed now from Fulton County. Right. He was like, oh, really? Like, dude, they moved into Turner Field after the 2000 Olympics.
Yeah.
Right. They only played at Turner Field for 20 years?
Wasn't it? It was the 2000s. It was the summer games. No, maybe
96,
I have that wrong.
No?
That's right, 96. Not 2000.
Even 2000 still, I actually still thought it was a little longer.
Well, wait, 96 was still Turner Field.
Yes, but then.
I mean, Fulton County Stadium.
When the Yankees played them in the World Series. But then Turner Field, what became Turner Field, had been used for the Olympics. And they converted it into what became the Braves' new home.
Anyway.
So, like, I don't know if it was 97 or not. I don't know what year technically they.
I think that stadium's still up. I think Georgia State plays there.
At Turner, the old Turner Field,
whatever
I believe.
Called now.
Interesting.
Okay. Georgia State's nickname is?
Panthers.
Didn't even get the words out of your mouth.
Yeah. So you could see him like a dog asking for it. Yeah. Ask me.
Oh, God. So the Canna misplay was scored, of course, because he didn't touch it. A double for Ronald Acuna Jr. made it 3-0 by the end of that frame. The Braves on their way to a 13-1 pounding of the Mets. Biggest margin of defeat for the Mets this season. Not really a surprise there. They've been so good. Acuna doubled 3 times. He drove in 3 as part of Atlanta's 7th straight win. Carlos Carrasco gave up 3 runs across his 2 innings, interrupted by that 55-minute rain delay in the second. He did return after the break, got the final out, but winced on his last pitch and was removed with a left side issue.
It happened, it just got tight a little bit, and I don't want to push more, so that's what I feel there.
Just tight on the one pitch?
The one pitch, the last pitch on the game, I just feel tight.
So then there was some thought or criticism that maybe you shouldn't have sent him back out there.
I don't buy that.
Well, yeah. Strider went back out there. He didn't seem to have an issue.
Well, and even Buck said, it's not like he sat down and played cards and then they would say, go back out there. Right. Like, he was throwing
he
and
threw
working
an
in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, that's what we think. The fans and the media is like, oh, he's sitting there, he's cold, he's not doing anything. You know?
He was plenty loose.
Yeah.
Plus, it was
throwing innings underneath.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, And Carrasco's had some health issues, too. Hopefully, it's no big deal. But it was just a completely lost night for the Mets.
Yes. Lesser bullpen guys got knocked around to the point where Buck sent Darren Ruff out there to finish up the game. And he actually pitched 2 scoreless on 14 pitches, 10 of them strikes.
Darren Ruff stepped up for us. And outfielders ran some balls down. Didn't quite get all the way. Glad they didn't hit him early in the game when they were flying.
So, the Mets will watch this one away. They'll move on to tonight.
He's available
tonight.
Only 14 pitches.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Better hope you don't use him again.
Well, only 2 up-downs or 1 up-down.
He's now done more out of the pen than he has in the batter's box for the Mets since acquiring
him. What was the dry hump again?
That was Mickey Callaway.
Right, but what was that?
Where you get the reliever up in the bullpen, but then you don't bring him into the game.
Got it.
Yeah.
great term.
Dry
it's
home,
a great term.
Downs.
Yeah, we never heard of it before. And then I was listening to Buck months ago on Fred's as his podcast said the same thing. We call that dry humping, where we get we don't want to do too many dry humps, where you get a reliever off, but don't get in the game. These baseball terms.
Dry hump. I'm sorry.
Oh my!
Was that Kim?
Yeah.
Kim was not familiar with the phrase at that point in time.
No one was.
Right.
Anyway.
Mets Braves tonight, 7:20. Again, Taijuan Walker, Charlie Morton, Eduardo Escobar. He only can hit left-handed right now because of his side tightness. You've got Luis Guillorme going out 4 to 6 weeks, likely with the groin injury here. He's on the IL. Tomas Nito, was it an illness or a personal issue? I saw both.
I thought illness.
Illness,
is what,
okay. Yeah. So he wasn't in Atlanta. We'll see when he's back. And then Buck, before the game, I know, ticked off some Met fans as far as saying that Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos were not options to take the spot of Guillorme because they're not wanting, I guess, start service time clocks. Where do you stand on that, Sal?
I don't care.
You don't care?
You know, I mean, I want whatever's best to help this team right now. It shouldn't be, look, it's not like Beatty or Vientos are going to come up here and be an everyday player. I mean, if Escobar goes down as well, then hey.
Well, he can only hit from one side of the plate right now.
Well, whatever. Then if they're going to do that and say that he's limited, then Vientos should be the everyday third baseman for the time being. The problem is they lose flexibility regardless of who comes up because they're not going to be as flexible as Guillorme was. So as long as if they want to bring Beatty or Vientos up, then they have to play. I don't want them on the bench because I don't think that does anybody any good.
When did it become 6:44?
After 6:43.
Wow. I think we did like 20 minutes of Yankee stuff. And then
here we go.
No.
We had the Yankee post game, take two.
Are you good?
What did we do that was so excessive on the Yankees?
We're good.
Just 10 minutes.
That's all right. That's
what do you remember? The Mets lost 13-1. What are you going to say? They've been great. It's one game.
6:45. Chris, thank you very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
'Cause you had a bad day. Oh. Take one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around.
F you. F yourself. F off, everybody. Now, it wasn't that bad of a day. It just had bad moments to it.
Forget the last 6 months. The last 24 hours have eaten a penis.
I didn't know you could play that.
I didn't know you could say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So anyhow, so yesterday, before I get to the calls, so I'm putting in these 24-inch, you know, pavers for like a walkway.
Okay, you're doing it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, you love this, the challenge of being a homeowner.
It's really not that. No, I don't actually. No. If I didn't have kids, I would be in a condo overlooking the beach like our producer in 2 seconds and have the people that run the condo association do this. I hate doing this.
I do have a wife and a kid, and I'm thinking about that anyway.
By yourself or with them? All right, so...
TBD.
An answer, right. So anyway, so these 24 by 24 inch, they're heavy as hell. So I needed 10 of them. So I got a few of them on Saturday, a couple of them on Sunday. And then yesterday I wanted to get the rest of them. Yeah, get like three at a time, whatever. So I take the shopping. So I back up to Sunday. I went to get the rest of them Sunday with Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped one on my finger.
Oh.
Yeah, to where you can still see the black and blue in the nail.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
So I kind of dropped that. I said, let's go. I got to go home and get ice on it. And we left them there. So I went back yesterday. I'm like, all right, no more with the...
If you were Stanton, you'd be out for the next 3 weeks.
I might be.
With that,
hurt nail. So I went by myself yesterday, but I'm going to use a shopping cart because it's just easier to push them around and, you know, drop them. Okay. So I get the first one in, and I lean it up against the Home Depot, your place.
Yeah.
So the back part of the shopping cart, and I put the one in the middle. But to lift it, you got to lift it over the edge.
Were you wearing gloves or anything?
No.
Yeah, it's a rookie move.
Stupid. But whatever. So I lift it up, and I rest it on the edge, and then I drop it back down. Fair enough. Now I've got... What's the worst type of injury you fear, Al?
Penis injury.
Yeah. So I've got these athletic shorts on.
Oh, God.
So the second one, I go to lift up.
Oh!
I'm getting there. I kind of jump up with it to kind of get it up on the ledge.
Yeah.
Let's just say, clipped it. It had been another inch, two, whatever, three. That might be gone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now, what?
Your penile area. I started walking around like I was shot in the groin.
Oh, my God.
Now, it turned out I was okay.
Why didn't you get?
I was so close to it not being. Okay.
Why didn't you get a flatbed cart?
That's where I almost lost my finger.
Oh, okay.
Because your hands are underneath it.
Oh,
the shopping cart was just much easier. To be quite honest,
are a pain in the neck. I remember ringing them up at Home Depot. I would not want to mess with it. I would just look at it, be like, "How many you got there? Oh yeah, five. That looks good to me.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. I don't want to lift them all up and count everything.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm all right. It's
you
fine.
You survived, at least.
And as I was walking around trying to shake it off, all I could think of was him. Because I'm going to end up at a doctor.
Do you have any markings down there?
Very little.
Oh, God.
But it did cause a marking.
Very little. That's what I'm saying. This could have been bad. So it was almost like the sensitivity of I reacted quick enough, but it still clipped it a little bit. Just a little bit. That could have been bad. Penis injuries and diseases.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, I just not a good day. It was not. Although it came out once I got home, and it came out nice. Here's Danny in Cranford. What's up? What the area that I was in?
Just about the man's penis?
All right, Eddie. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I got to ask you a question, because I do the same thing you guys basically do every single day. All right. Sal, you got a regular gig. Jerry, you got like six jobs. I mean,
I have three of them.
You're not paying guys to put in paver stones. I mean, you're almost losing your lead singer to collapsible paver. Why don't you cheap bastards put the car in the lot?
So here's why.
That's a great point.
Now you tell me, since you say you do this. So my commute is already at about $950 a month. Already. With the parking that we do on the street for, I guess it's $11 a day. The tolls, which has become absurd. Gas at $4 a gallon. Like, when's enough's enough? To put it in a parking garage down here, I believe, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's $65 a day down here in this area. Plus, you're tipping the guy, and if you don't, you might get your car back without a mirror on it. So, I mean, you do the math. If you want to spend, so you'd be talking about spending almost $3,000 a month to come to work. At some point, it's ridiculous, no?
true. But I mean, I know you have a fear of getting killed or mugged also. So, I mean, if you want a little further uptown, you can find a lot.
Further uptown? Where do you want me to go? By Madison Square Garden?
Here's why I don't like that idea. Convenience. I can drive to the building, to the front of the building, and park the
car
for
$10
right there. It doesn't make sense to go find
I'm not driving around for a free spot.
And not only that, yeah, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I don't drive. See, that would be the cheap move. And I know a lot of people do that. And God bless them. Like, if you want to do it. If I knew where they were and it were easy, maybe. I'm not searching for a spot. I do that near SNY because I have a better understanding there. But I'm not. I could park right in front for $10.
It's $10.
That's it, and it's convenient. The lot, you got to walk to the lot,
and you got to wake the guy up half the time.
Yeah, no, I don't want to wait for your car to come back. No, thank you. I'd rather not deal with it. So I don't think it's about as being cheap as it is.
It's not being cheap at all. Trust me. There's a lot of things in my life I might be cheap about.
Agreed.
That is not one.
Correct.
And the landscaping also, I'm not cheap. It's just again. Between a new furnace, a new water heater. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've done this year. At some point, I'm capable of doing things myself.
You mow your own lawn or no?
Not usually. I got, sure, I got this guy, Nick, who does it for me. He's got his own landscaping company.
Well, you got kids,
I
too.
I did
that
myself.
Should be automatic.
What's that?
And you get the kids, Matthew, Joseph. Hey, get out there and mow the lawn. I mean,
No.
What do you mean?
I have the landscaper that does it. Now, I did it the month of July.
His name was Sal.
I understand.
I mean, come on.
I have a guy that does it.
Yeah, all right. That's fair enough, I guess.
Now, I did do it in July because of I was helping someone else out, but my guy's coming back this week. So there are things I'm cheap about. That's not really one.
Yeah, see, that's one where I'm not, like, I would not waste my time doing
it. It's funny. I don't do it often. When I do it, I don't mind, though. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like a nice afternoon. You put the music on. You'd be left alone.
Yeah,
I would think it's right up your alley, actually.
I used to have the Walkman on, listening to...
Right, so why would you call it a waste of time? It gets you out of the house.
Now it's a waste of time. Back then, I wasn't really... I mean, I think it was 14 or whatever it was, 13, mowing the lawn.
Right.
I wasn't working. It was... Dad, I don't want to mow the lawn again. You better get out there, otherwise you're not going to be eating anything and find a place to live. And whatever the half hour that it took me to do, it was nice listening to, you know, Green Day or Blind Melon in the on the
Blind Melon, look at you.
Yeah.
On the mixtape.
Yeah, man, I remember it. I had, like, this pink and yellow cassette mixtape, whatever, Informer. I'm trying to think of some of the hits that were on it back then. Remember these singles and like.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.